solo tu infante. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، Imam Hussein عليه السلام took upon a great responsibility and executed it and fulfilled it. And because this responsibility was undertaken by the Wali of Allah, just like the Quran, which is the book of Allah, has an apparent side and has a hidden side, just like that, the incident of Karbala, the movement of Imam Hussein, has an apparent side and also a hidden side. It has what we see, what is apparent for us, and it has lessons in its depth for those who can reach it. Those who take the apparent side of Imam Hussein, they are blessed by Allah. And those who have the tawfiq and blessing to reach the inner meanings that Imam Hussein had taught us, obviously are blessed in a greater way. Yesterday, just to give the importance of Muharram, I gave the comparison between the month of Ramadan and Muharram. One of the things I mentioned yesterday, I will take that thing and inshallah from here we go on with our speeches. One of the things I mentioned yesterday was a saying of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam. In which he said, Ana ayatul kubra, ayatullah al kubra, I am the great sign of Allah. Wa ana quranun natiq, and I am the speaking Quran. Right? And when we look at the saying of Amir al Mu'mineen, we see that truly the great sign of Allah, the sign that points to Allah, the sign that brings humanity towards Allah, are Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt are the sign that bring everyone closer to Allah, meaning in many ways you see they are clearer, more effective than any other sign that has been sent to us or could be found. When we look at this saying of Amir al-Mu'mineen, then obviously it applies to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In a way, where when we look at it, and when we see the movement of Imam Hussein, we see what he had done in Karbala, we see how he showed Islam in Karbala, we see that this sign finds more clarity, more distinctions in many ways that we cannot find in even the other Imams. Because of the ambiguity in their lives, clouded by the situations that they were in. We see that what Imam Hussein did in Karbala, there are many distinctions to what Imam Hussein had done. And that he, in the terms of Ayatullah, the sign of Allah, the great sign of Allah, we see that there are certain distinctions we find in Imam Hussein that, you know, from the other Imams also, when we look at their lives, we see that it is not that distinct. Let me explain to you some of the distinctions that we find in the Islam that was brought by Imam Hussein. The first thing we find in Imam Hussein is the clarity of the message. How clear his message was, how clear his movement was, and how easy it is to recognize it. We look at the other Imams, we have to dwell and research into their lives in order to see the great messages that they have given. But Imam Hussein brought out Islam in such a way that the first sign of his first distinction of his movement is clarity, that it became clear. It became very clear for us. The second distinction of Imam Hussein and his message that he gave was the fact that his message has an appeal. There's this magnetism, this attraction towards Imam Hussein. And because of that attraction towards Imam Hussein, not only is the message very clear, but also there is an attraction that brings people towards that message, towards that movement, towards that mission. This is the second thing Imam Hussein brought forward. He made the message very clear. He made the message very attractive and appealing to everyone. And we see that in our lives. It is, for example, as a mu'min, as someone who knows Imam Hussein, we see how easy it is to be attracted towards Hussein and his message. It's very easy to be attracted towards him. The third distinction of Imam Hussein and his movement was its effectiveness. Its effectiveness. How effective was his message and his movement? That Imam Hussein brought Islam home to everyone. He truly brought it home. The message hit home by Imam Hussein in a way that now you see that a person cannot just leave there without being affected. This is Imam Hussein. So now, if this is clear, because when we look at all the Imam, all of the Ahlul Bayt are the great signs of Allah. But even amongst them, we see Karbala and Imam Hussein is a clearer sign, is a more effective sign, is a more attractive sign that comes forward. This is the first issue. I hope that issue is cleared for us. That Imam Hussein, his message, his movement is clear. Much clearer than everyone else. This is the first thing. If that is understood, send aloud salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So in other words, what I'm trying to say is this. If we have not learned Islam from Imam Hussein, then we are not going to learn it from anywhere else. If we haven't learned the teachings of Islam that Allah wanted us to learn from Hussein, then we are not going to learn it from anywhere else. If we are not going to learn the lessons of Islam from Imam Hussein, then we are not going to learn those lessons from anywhere else. Meaning that Imam Hussein is the clearest sign and lesson and teaching of Islam. This is the place we have to learn. If we don't learn Islam here, then you're not going to learn it anywhere else. You're not going to go to anyone else and say, I'm going to learn it here. No, if you haven't learned it through Hussein and through Karbala, then you haven't learned it anywhere else. You cannot learn it. Because this is the clearest way of learning Islam. This is the clearest sign of Allah. This is where it is, my friends. So now if that is understood by us, so now let me just go to the next issue. And I want to ask you a question. Islam has been taught in the clearest way by Imam Hussein in Karbala. I want to ask you this question now. Did Imam Hussein in Karbala teach the whole of Islam, or did he teach a part of Islam? Other than the fact that Islam in principle cannot be divided, the message is one united message. The fact that did Imam Hussein give the whole of Islam in Karbala, or did he give a part of Islam in Karbala? Some of it. You know, yes, he taught some messages that were important in Karbala. Or did he teach all of Islam in Karbala? This is the question that I want to go into. Right? Because from here, we will go to the truly the whole subject of my 10 days will find its root in this question. And the subject in these 10 days will be Shia. Alright? What does it mean to be a Shia? What makes a Shia? Right? This is what we want to learn from Imam Hussein. Right? And I want to just ask this question first, so I'll make this clear first, so that we understand. Really. When we look at Karbala, we say this is the most clearest message of Islam, and nothing is more clear than Karbala and Imam Hussein, what he did in Karbala. Now, is that the complete Islam he gave there, or is it some of Islam that he gave there? Let me clarify that question more. Friends, did Imam Hussein teach us in Karbala how to die, or did he also teach us how to live? Is the message of Karbala that this is how you give shahadats and martyrdom in Allah's way, and this is how you die in Allah's way? Or is the message also include, no, this is how you live in Allah's way?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, understand this. We have to know this very well. You know, meaning that, you know, is Imam Hussein teaching us just to die well, that this is how you die for Islam? Because really, we have misconceived sayings, you know, where you see that a lot of people don't understand this, and they marginalize Imam Hussein. They marginalize Karbala by hearing these sayings and repeating them by saying, live like Ali and die like Hussein. But what does that mean? That Imam Hussein didn't teach us how to live?
No.
Is he didn't teach us how to live? Friend, understand this. We have these misconceived notions and we live on that. So this Imam Hussein, this message that he gave in Karbala, is he teaching us how to die in Allah's way? Or in Karbala, I'm saying, is he teaching us how to live in Allah's way? It's very important for us to understand. Because from here, we get the true meaning of a Shia. This is the roots. And I want to clear those roots first. So that the branches and the fruits can be borne by us, inshallah, in these 10 days. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. In other words, let me put you in another way, you know, so that you understand this question better. When the enemies of Islam, who are targeting Shias and targeting Ahlul Bayt, when they look at us, do they say, you know what, these people have Imam Hussein, these people have Karbala, they have learned the lesson of Shahadat, Hence beware that they know how to die in Allah's way. They know how to die in Allah's way. They look at that. They're looking at that. They said they know how to die in Allah, so beware. Don't get them close to anywhere they'll die. Because they know how to die. Enemies are looking at that, right? And they are saying this. When they say this, when we look at this, now we have to see Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein, did you teach us how to die well? At least that is what's understood by what the enemies are saying. We learn from the enemies that, listen, they know that we learn from Imam Hussein how to die. But is that all you taught us? Is that all you taught us there? In other words, is Imam Hussein only useful in the time of revolution, or is he also useful in the time of us living our lives? You know, everyone, of course, we understand that. You know, when for example, Imam Hussein in the time of revolution, rebellion, and standing up against truth, we say, just like Hussein, we'll make a stand. Just like Hussein, we'll rise up. Yeah, Hussein, rise up. But at the end, is this what Imam Hussein only, or is he also useful when we need to organize, when we need to live our lives, when we need to establish government? Is this also when he is useful? There are people, for example, you will hear them say that Hussein is the leader of the free. He is the leader of the liberated. When they say it, they look at the very simplistic view of this statement. They don't look at the depth of this statement. When you are, for example, what they're saying there, when you're oppressed and when you are Muslim, that's when you say, Ya Hussein, and you rise up. Well, what if you're not Muslim? What if you're not oppressed? Then where is Hussein? Meaning, in this case, if this is the ideology about Imam Hussein, if this is what we think about Imam Hussein, then it means that right now, for us, Imam Hussein is just a ceremonial person that we hold as a master of ceremonies, and we say that he's there. Good person, isn't that? But he will become useful for us when we'll become Muslim. His message will be useful for us when we become Muslim. Until then, alhamdulillah, he's a nice person and we will remember him. We will keep his message alive, because when we need his message, we will use it. And we need his message when we become Muslim also. You understand the question I'm asking? This is the question that I want to answer, my friends. This is the question that needs to be answered. Because really, if we understand Karbala, if we want to know Karbala, we need to go in the depth of Karbala. Yes, it's easy to understand that, you know, the lesson of Shahadat is easily attained from Karbala. The lesson of giving our lives in Allah's way is easily attained through Karbala. We understand that. And to learn the lesson of life, it's not that easy from Karbala. It requires a little bit more in-depth view, look and search and patience in order to learn what lessons did Imam Hussein give to live in Allah's way. To live in Allah's way. Salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
You know, when I look at Karbala, this is what I've been reading on, and I see Imam Hussein's message, and this is what I want you to see also. His message is more. He taught us more than just dying in Allah's way. He taught us to live in Allah's way also. He taught us the principles on which life should be led in Allah's way. He gave the whole of Islam to us in Karbala. Just in Karbala, not before Karbala, in Karbala. saying in Karbala, the 10 days that are there, that Allah swears by these nights, Al-Imam Hussein taught us this thing. And the enemies also know this. The enemies also know this, and they are afraid. They are frightened and scared. Because the enemies are looking at the Shia and saying, oh, if these people learn how to live from Hussein, that will be the end of us.
Yes.
Oh, these people, if they learn to live from Imam Hussein, if they learn how to live from Imam Hussein, then you know what? We will be finished. As long as they learn the lesson of Shahada, that's good. We will deal with them. We'll know how to deal with them. As long as they have learned how to die in Islam, we will deal with them. We will make sure that we don't come to a point in our dealings with them where we have to kill them. This is the reason why the enemies are not attacking us. And that's all thing. He says, listen, this is not the way to get these people, because these people know how to die. They know how to give their lives. They know how to give their life for Allah's sake. They have learned it from Hussein. We cannot beat them at that. You know where we beat them? We beat them in the places where they did learn from Hussein. Corrupt their life. Make their life corrupted. That's what we are going to do. Why? Because if we go to war with them, then they know how to die. And they will win every time. See, if the enemy, the enemy know this also. If I know it, the enemy also knows it. Wow. You know, I can't take my enemy as a fool. You know, if they are my opponent, then at least they should reach to a level of thinking where I reached, where we reach. You know, if they haven't reached to that level of thinking, they are not our opponents then. Right? They're not our enemies then. Right? Meaning if they are not thinking, if their thinking has not reached the place where we are thinking also, then they haven't. We can't call them enemies. We can't call them opponents, you know? I mean, if you want to fight an opponent, you know, obviously they cannot be Allah's opponent. See, when it comes to Allah and fighting with Allah, they will always lose. But when it comes to us, we have to take them for what they are worth. They are our opponents. Right? Otherwise, you know, if we don't have opponents, then we have to look at ourselves. What's wrong with us? You know, we don't have good enemies. Right? Every fighter wants to fight someone who can challenge him. And that's why he's called a challenger for. You know, he doesn't find any amateur or someone who doesn't know how to fight. That would be an insult for him.
Yes.
You know, to us also it's the same thing. When we are looking for a challenger, we're looking for someone who's equal, who can spar with us. You know, who can at least go some rounds with us. Right? If we can beat someone in the first round, what's the use of fighting him? They're not our enemies anymore. That's how you know your enemy. That's how you know your enemy. If we can think that way, that Imam Hussein has taught us the lessons of life. And we have learned the lesson of death from him, then the enemies are also thinking, you know what? They learned the lesson of death from Imam Hussein. We cannot beat them at that. Let us stop these lessons from being learned by these people. My friends, this is where the distinction takes place. This is where a Shia is known. Who has learned the lessons of life from Hussein? Who has learned the lesson of life from Hussein? This is what we want to understand. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, yes, in Karbala it's easy to learn the lesson of Shahadat, because it was evident, it's clear, we know it. There are poems that are written about it. There are marsiyas that are written about it. There are so many literature that are written about it. So many speeches have given about it, that it has become a part of a Shia psyche to know how Imam Hussein died in Karbala, how his companions died in Karbala. You being a Shia, your psyche has been trained to know how Karbala has taken place, how Shahadat has taken place in Karbala. There's no way that you can ignore that. We being a Shia, we know that. We know that. But learning the lessons of life in Karbala take a little bit of more patience and more learning. Taking a bit of depth inside of it. Examples are many in Karbala. Let me give an example so we can start it off. My friends, looking at the maqtal of Imam Hussain and looking at the whole history of the maqtal, you know, many of these companions came to Imam Hussain. I mean, you heard in riwayat that they used to come to Imam Hussain when they're leaving for battle, knowing that they're going to die. And they would cry. They would cry. And Imam Hussain said, "Why are you crying?" And they'd say, you know, and I thought that this is only like one or two people who did this. But when I looked into it, it's like everyone who went to the battlefield did this. They all came to Imam Hussain and they all cried. Imam Hussain said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, and they said, "We're crying because, you know, because Imam Hussain said, we will be together soon. Soon we'll be together. No need to cry." He says, "Yes, we know we'll be together soon, but we are crying because we are leaving you alone." I'm crying because I'm leaving you alone. You know? And this is, I mean, just imagine this love. Imagine this love that was there in the companions. A few seconds that we will be separated, we are just crying. I am crying because I am feeling bad that I'm leaving you alone for a few minutes, knowing you will be with us soon. I'm crying for that separation. This love, tell me, is this love only at the time you die? Or is this love when you live also? When you're living with someone also. Understand this, my friends. Who's a Shia? Right? Only at the time you die that, yes, you know, when we die, inshallah, you know, we will behave like that also. In this extreme situation, in this drastic circumstance, we will also be very emotional and we become like that. Or, no, is this love also existing in normal circumstances also in our life? Without any pressure, without any war, without any death looming over our head. Tell me, that love that was seen there, right? It is because this love did not exist in the time of Ali, for Ali, you know? It is because this love did not exist for Imam Hassan that Karbala took place. If people had loved Ali the way that the companions of Imam Hussain loved Imam Hussain, if people had loved Imam Hassan the way that the companions of Hussain loved Imam Hussain, then Karbala would never have taken place. Learning to... This is where you see the lessons of life are coming to us. You know, if we don't learn to live the way Imam Hussain has taught us, truly we will be ashamed of Imam Hussain. We will be ashamed in front of him. We will be put to shame. You know, it's like this, you know, and I'll give you a Shia, a mu'min who loves Imam Hussain. If he, you know, is doing azadari and crying for Imam Hussain from the first till the ninth of Muharram, and then he sleeps on Ashura, how would he feel? And how would he feel if he sleeps on Ashura and he didn't get up to cry for Imam? He didn't get up to do azadari. He didn't get up to do matam. How would he feel? Tell me, my friends. You'll be ashamed of Imam Hussain. I mean, Ashura, and this is what I did on Ashura. You see, this, my friends, is what we mean by living for Imam Hussain. You know, living for Imam Hussain is like this. Imam Hussain has taught us both how to live and die for Allah. Both these things. And we need to learn both of these things. In order that we become a true Shia of Imam Hussein. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Just one thing I will mention, inshallah, and we will end the speech today. Tomorrow we'll start off, right? There are books that have been written by worthless people who have said idiotic things in a very wise way. Right? And reading one of these books, you know, came across a sentence that said that martyrdom is the way of those who don't know how to live. And giving your life up is the way of those who don't know how to live well. Meaning their lives are so bad that they might as well give it up.
Wow.
You know? It's the choice of the worthless.
Wow.
Right? Meaning that those people who don't have good lives, who are, you know, poor anyway, what else can they do? So, you know, they become the, you know, people who give up their life. Otherwise, you know what, if they had a life, they wouldn't want to give it up. Meaning the only reason they're giving it up because they don't have a life. Right? Sort of thinking is there. And I just gave this as an extreme view, but I want you to understand something from it, my friends. And I'm going to say that there's certain truth in this. Right? What I just said. There's certain truth in this. And I want you to understand it from here so you can appreciate Karbala. My friends, understand this. If Imam Hussein had only taught us how to die, then teach us how to live well, how to live good. You know what? Then yes, people who have nothing to live for, they have no life. And what else can they do? That's what happens. That's how these people that you call suicide bombers and this and that come about. Who are these people? You know, sickly, lonely, you know, lowly, poor guys, you know, who don't know better, and hence, you know, you go there and just, you know, and tell them, listen, you know, you have no life, you might as well die and get the 72 virgins up there. you know, I mean, you're not worth it to get a wife here, so at least get a wife there. You'll be better off there, right? So obviously with these type of people, you know, you can look at that and say, yeah, I mean, what else do they have to live for? My friends, understand this very well. You know, Imam Hussein taught us first to live good. Then, if you live good, then the meaning of dying good will become effective. Understand this, my friends. You see, I'll give an example, so inshallah you can understand it better. Send me love, salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
In one of the ziyarah, I think it's ziyarah al-arba'in, in which Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He speaks about Imam Hussein. He speaks to Imam Hussein in this ziyarat, as he's reading the ziyarat, teaches us to read it this way. And he says, Ishta Sa'idan wa Madaita Hamida. He says that, Hussein, you lived a good life and you died a praiseworthy death. You lived a good life and you died a praiseworthy death. Meaning that, you know, he is testifying to the fact that you led a good life. Your life wasn't something that was nothing, you know, and there was nothing to give up anyway, so that's why you went and died. You see? Life was good. This is why, you know, we see an incident when the Haram was brought in front of Ibn Ziyad in the court of Kufa. And Ibn Ziyad was asking to kill Imam Sajjad. And Zainab flung herself in front of Imam Sajjad. Right? In such a way that there was, you know, actual danger for her. The actual danger for her life. You just flung herself in front of Imam Sajjad. The actual danger for her life. And you know what? Ibn Ziyad, who was just cursing them 2 minutes ago, he was cursing them. He says, look at the life these people have, how much they love each other. He started praising them. I mean, look at this life that, I mean, this is the way to live, how much love they have with each other. You see, how much love do they have with each other? This is the way to live their life. My friends, the worst thing, you know, is this. You know, we haven't learned how to live from Imam Hussein. You know, we haven't learned the lessons yet. If you look at our lives are more like the enemies than they reflect the lives of Ahlul Bayt. This hatred, jealousy, this rat race, hubbe dunya, prejudice, discrimination. Whose lives are like these? Ahlul Bayt? Or their enemies? My friends, this is where you see you need to pay attention to your life and make your life good. You say, Mawlana, if you do that, then you will be attracted to dunya. And your life, you know, because if you are going to pay attention to your life, then you will be attracted to the life of this dunya. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. It's only when you have that life, then you'll know what sacrifice is. It's only when you have that life. My friends, what do you think was Ali Akbar? I mean, what do you think was the sacrifice of Ali Akbar? You know, I mean, look at your children and look at Ali Akbar. You know, you wish you had a child like Ali Akbar. You know who Ali Akbar was? You know, Ali Akbar, you know, the greatest thing that Allah created was Rasulullah. If someone is the replica of Rasulullah, that was Ali Akbar. Losing Ali Akbar, then you understand what sacrifice is. You understand sacrifice when you have something. Then you give it up. My friend, what shortage did, what did Abbas lack in his life? What did Hazrat Abbas lack in his life? Anything that was less in him? Tell me. The moon of Bani Hashim, Amr Bani Hashim. He was that light. This is Abbas. Tell me, that Abbas, you know, losing him is a sacrifice. Then you know what Imam Hussein said, my back is broken, Abbas, with your death. Then you know what sacrifice is. My friends, Ahlul Bayt had everything, then you know the meaning of their sacrifice when they lose it. This is where sacrifice finds its meaning. When you have a life and you leave that life for Allah, if you don't have a life, then what's the use of leaving it? My friends, Ahlul Bayt had a life. Their life is unlike anyone else's. This was Ahlul Bayt. When you looked into their life, you saw how much life they had between each other. how much life they had between each other. And that's why everywhere they went, they gave life to everyone they found. You know, there was a time in this journey that they were going, and you know, the army that Yazid had sent, they were looking for Hussein, and they found Hussein's army, not his army, his caravan. You know, it wasn't an army at all. It was a caravan, mostly women and children. And they found that, and they were going after it. Imam Hussein knew this, and he came to a place where there was water, and he asked his people, the few people that he had, he asked them, fill every water container that you have. Fill every water container, even if it's not useful water, fill it with water. And they filled it with water. Everything. They had so much surplus water. And Imam Hussein took his caravan. He went around. He went around, and the army that was sent by Ibn Ziyad was led by Hur. That Hur, he was after Imam Hussein. They didn't fill up on their water. They came after Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein went from different place to another, different place to another, until they caught up with Imam Hussein. You see that his whole army was thirsty. Not just thirsty, they were truly thirsty. They were parched. They were ready to fall out of their houses. They were ready to fall down. Imam Hussein looked at the state of this army. He knew that this army is there to block his way. He knew that this army is there to obstruct his path and to bring hardship to his children and his women. Wow. Imam Hussein knows this. Everyone else knows this, what's going on. They all see this, what's happening. But Imam Hussein calls Abbas and says, Abbas, you see this army that came here? You see Hur's men? They're all thirsty. Go give them water. Abbas, give them water. You know, Abbas was called Saqqa. You know, Abbas was called Saqqa. He was the one who gave water. This is the water of life. The water of life Abbas gives. That's the real water that Abbas gives. He gives life to people. He gives life. Abbas is giving this water out to everyone. You know, he was giving this water out to everyone. And this army is so thirsty. They're like looking for water. You know, they're dying. They're fighting each other for water. And they're calming them. Now everyone will get water. Hussein has enough water for everyone. Hussein is like that. He has enough for everyone. Do not worry. Don't worry. You don't need to fight over what Hussein is giving. He has plenty to give to everyone. He has plenty to give to everyone. You don't need to stand in line for Hussein. Hussein is there and ready to give to everyone. That is Hussein. That is how Hussein is. He's ready to give to you. You know why? Hussein is giving to you because his mother is standing behind him and saying, Hussein! My son Hussein! Aren't these the people who cried for you? Make sure they never go back unhappy. Give to them, Hussein. You know, when everyone was drinking the water there, one of the soldiers of the army, you know, he was so thirsty that he came and held his cup, and he wasn't able to, because of his thirst, wasn't able to drink it right. And the water, before he could put it in his mouth, spilled on the floor in the haste to drink it. And he says that he saw Hussein sitting in his place, and Hussein saw him spill the water, and he came. Hussein came. You know how Hussein gives? He came to that person. He took the cup from his hand, filled the cup with water, and he says, listen, I will hold the cup and you drink the water. He says, no, you don't have to do this, Hussein. He says, no, don't worry about me. I will feed you. I will quench your thirst. Take the water from me, Hussein. Quench the thirst of this person. He is giving him water with his own hands. Hussein, we are here in this Muharram run for you. Oh Hussein, we are thirsty for your knowledge. We are thirsty for life. Give us life from yourself, and you yourself feed us this. This is Imam Hussein. You want to show your love for Hussein? My friend, showing your love for Hussein is not a big thing, you know? Because Hussein is that attractive. Anyone falls in love with him. Anyone falls in love with Hussein. Hussein is that good that everyone falls in love with Hussein. Hussein is that good. You know, but what has happened that people don't recognize him? Really, really, when we look at it, they don't, you know, when they didn't recognize Imam Hussein, how Imam Hussein had to deal with people. When we look at a person like Hussein having to deal with people in such a way, then our heart trembles as to what has happened. What has happened that Hussein was dealt with this way? You know, second Muharram is the day that Imam Hussein's caravan came to Karbala. Imam Hussein came to Karbala this day, second day. And you know what, when Imam Hussein came to Karbala, you know, it is said that his horse stopped there. He knew, he wanted everyone to know, not just know, but know with emphasis. He says, you know, he asked his horse to move, the horse won't move. Got on another horse, didn't move. Then he said, what is this land called? Someone says it's called Nainawa. Says, is there another name for this? Someone says it's called Shatul Furat. He says, is there another name for this? An old man came forward, he said, I heard my ancestors say that this land is called Karbun Wabala, Karbala. And Imam Hussein said yes. He asked Abbas, Abbas, let us now pitch the tents over here. He made the deal for the land, and then in that deal, just a few words I will say, inshallah, and give your condolences to Fatima. Fatima is here so that whatever you take, you give for Hussein, she will take it so that she can show it on the Day of Judgment to Allah that this is the witness that I have. This is, I give witness. You cry for Hussein, your heart bleeds for Hussein, don't worry, it's not going unnoticed. Fatima is a witness that you have cried for Hussein. Fatima is a witness that you have cried for Hussein, she's witnessing your tears. And you know, this Imam Hussein, in that strange moment, he called Bani Asad to come forward, the men and also the women and also the children. He said, everyone come towards me. The whole tribe came, knowing that the grandson of Rasulullah is here. They came. And Imam Hussein said, listen, I buy this land from you. And he bought the land. And then he told them, listen, after a few days, you will see that my dead body will be lying here on this land. With my children and my companions. All I want from you is this. All I want from you is this. And what is that? You know what Imam Hussein said? He said, the man, listen, I won't give you one wasiyah to you. He said, what is that? When this army goes away from here, you will see our bodies lying on the ground. Come here and put our bodies in the graves. That's all I ask of you. I don't need anything from you. Don't get yourself in trouble. Just put our bodies in the graves. The men nodded their head. But in a way that Imam Hussein wanted this to be known, that if the men become scared and afraid and don't do this, he called the woman and he said, listen, I'm telling you, if your husbands are too afraid to come forward because they think the army might do something to them and that these zalimeen might do something to them, so at least put some dirt on our bodies so that they're hidden from the animals. Hussein, don't be afraid of the animals. The animals won't do anything to you, Hussein. Who have to be worried about the animals that are facing you, who look like human beings? Those are the animals you have to face. Those are the animals you have to be worried about. Because when those animals came to you, you. They disfigured your face. They trampled your body. They took over the... الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون معتم حسين